Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today. And I do this show every single year, which I guess this would be the eighth installment. We're finishing up year eight. I didn't do it the first year. But this is episode 1341 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. This is NFL Draft 101. This is... what do we know about the 49ers and how they utilize the draft, what their tendencies are, the things they don't do, what are some of their thresholds for certain positions we do know of, plus looking at the NFL draft from afar this year, right? What do we know about the 2025 NFL draft? Deepest positions, shallowest positions, players with character concerns, players with injury concerns, who is off the 49ers board. And then we're going to talk some trades. We're going to go through so much. So Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, who everybody kind of knows of by now. I've been following that dude for a long time. Very, very good at what he does. He does a 3-hour conference call with all 32 teams, beat writers, whatever else, every single year before the scouting combine. So I digested that thing this morning with a sick puppy taking care of Lucy. Our Frenchie's really, really sick, but hopefully she gets better. But so anyway, today, obviously a little bit later than normal, but I have, I think, 4.5 pages of notes. So we're just going to dive in. And so Chapman draft axioms, lessons that we've learned from the 49ers since Kyle Shanahan showed up in the 2017 draft, what the summary of the 2025 draft is, all those different things, plus Q&A. This is going to be a very, very, very content-dense podcast, which I kind of always want it to be. I don't like doing all the fluff and all the extra, you know. Obviously, some of that creeps in, but I'm hoping this is a little bit unique to a lot of the content that's out there. Not that any of it's bad. It's just we want to address things that perhaps aren't being addressed. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Hey, Val. Appreciate everybody. You guys are awesome. We got people coming in from the UK. Coach Cruz, the legend of the house, man. Great to see you. Hey, Josh. Appreciate all you guys. Hey, we got Joel in the house. We got Philippines. We got UK. We got people all over the place. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's get this done. So, we got to start off with Chapman draft axioms. These are the things that I just believe in. And like if I had a pull string doll, right? Like a little chubby Chapman with red cheeks and you like pull the pull string, right? And it's got like 5 or 6 sayings, right? This is where those come into play. Okay. Number one, right off the bat, trust coaches tape, not highlights. Highlights are great. I watch highlights all the time. I watch highlights of every single player that I write a draft profile up. However, I don't touch those highlights until I've done the coach's tape, the all 22. And here's why I say that. And I say this all the time. Watching a player's highlights is like reading a dating profile that the player set up themselves. You're only going to get the positives. You're only going to know the good stuff. You're not going to know any of the bad stuff or the flaws or what they're not good at or any of those things. Highlights tell you what the player can be, only the positive. Coach's tape is like interviewing all of that person's ex-girlfriends, whatever, however you want to imply this analogy. So if you want to know the good, the bad, the ugly, the whatever, you watch coaches tape. You want to know just what a player can do, watch highlights. And like, if you are a person and you keep hearing certain names brought up on, you know, shows, this player fits the 49ers, this player fits the 49ers, and you're not excited about it, go watch that player's highlights. Because, man, if you're being drafted, the 49ers pick 11th overall. If you're being drafted 11th, you're a freaking stud. Should be happy about all these. And does that mean that you like all of these? Or, you know, whatever, you can't be upset with picks? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But, yeah, Dr. Steve says abysmal has to be on there. That's right. Number one, like you pull it, abysmal. But, yeah, trust the tape, not the highlights. That's definitely going to be there. Now, if you're sitting there saying, like, man, where do we get coaches tape? Well, there are places you can get it. Usually have to pay for it. I wish that wasn't the case, but it's what it is. Now, if you don't know what to watch for, well, guess what? That's what we specialize in. The 49ersrush.com, which is how I feed my family, and our Patreon page, which is in the description of this video podcast. We break down all the players for you. I think we're up to 17 different players already broken down. We're picking 11. So we're covering all the positions. We've got all the offensive tackles that could go in the first round. We're working through the defensive ends. We've got a couple of the off-ball players. Those are up currently, and we're adding two. So if you want to see those things, awesome. If not, YouTube's a good place. Not going to find coaching tape too often on there. shout out to David Walder. Draft only Duncanville players. Taught with David at Duncanville. And yeah, there are some Duncanville players in this draft. There are Duncanville players that I don't want on the 49ers, which, you know, I'm not going to throw those names out in a negative light, but there are positive Duncanville players. There are players that I don't think fit exactly what we do. But yeah, if you typically draft Duncanville players, you got to be pretty good. There's a lot of good ones, a whole lot of good ones. So next one, again, this just happens every single year. There are three positions that get pushed up draft boards, regardless of where everybody ranks them. So like whenever you throw out a certain player and they're like, oh, that player's going to be there at 20, or, oh, that player's going top five, whatever else. Three positions get pushed up draft boards every single year. That are, those are quarterbacks, offensive tackles, edge rushers. Those three, no matter where Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugler, ESPN, whatever you, mock draft, I don't care. Quarterbacks, offensive tackles, edge rushers get pushed up the draft board every single year. Every year. Oh, another one. But I digress. Yeah, I say that one a lot too. Maybe I don't think that there's much market for a John Chapman pull string doll, but maybe for like dog toys to like tear up or something like that. But yeah, I would be curious to know, because y'all know me better than me, because y'all listen to me. I filter out my stupid voice. but yeah, that's there. Mark, yeah, I'm with you right there on the trade back. We're going to talk about that one. So again, whenever you're talking about certain position groups, quarterbacks, offensive tackles, defensive ends, always get pushed up the board. Always. And you'll hear like, oh, a little bit of a reach for this guy. No, not at that position. Not at that position. First, second round, quarterbacks, tackles, edge rushers, always get pushed up. Well, there has to be a flip side to that, right? Yes, there is. There are three positions that seem to always get pushed down. Safety, running backs, and guard-only prospects, right? Okay, guard-only. What's that mean? Guys that do not have tackle versatility or center versatility, they are guard-only prospects. They usually get pushed down. So three positions get pushed up way above ADP or average draft position based on consensus, whatever else. Three of them get pushed down. Running backs fall. Safeties are now devalued more than almost any other position in the NFL. And so, like, whenever you get people like Malachi Starks, who's a stud, he's an absolute baller. Now, I'm not saying this should happen. I'm saying it does happen and will continue to happen. These are the trends that NFL teams in the NFL draft leave us, the crumbs, right? And so we're just gathering crumbs, trying to deduce as much as we possibly can with the information that is given. Safeties, running backs, guard-only prospects fall every single time. Now, the trick to the guard-only prospect, Niners don't draft those guys. I think Aaron Banks is the only one, but Aaron Banks broke almost every single rule of 49ers' own drafting rules, and I think they bore the fruit of that. That was a horrible pick. I love Aaron Banks. I think he's a great dude. Never should have came to the 49ers. It's not a fit in the scheme. It's not a fit in really pass or run. It was a fit with how their draft philosophy at guard-only prospect, like, they just missed. It's like five strikes. And so the 49ers always do these wild pitches, right, where they always go a little bit crazy, where you're just like, ah, I didn't see that coming. There's one to two picks every single draft where it's just like, what the f-? It's going to happen again. It's a Shanahan staple. It's a Shanahan staple. But, again, whenever people say, you know, we're picking at 11, and they're like, oh, that guy won't be there. Go back to the positional value, right? So if you're drafting a offensive tackle or an edge, understand they're going to go higher than what everybody projects them. But if you're talking running back, safety, or a guard-only prospect, yeah, they might be projected to go at the back end of round one. Don't be shocked when that safety running back guard-only is going to be there in the second round, because they almost always, always, always fall. Almost always. Now, let me just put this qualifier out there. The only thing that people like me, I don't really know what that means, content creators, people that, you know, do their own draft research, whatever else, the only thing we can't really get a grasp on is true injury reports and character concerns. Now, if something is out there publicly, yeah, but we scour the webs. The 49ers rush team on our draft book, which we're up to 197 pages, and again, that goes out to everybody that subscribes any tier, the49ersrush.com or our Patreon page. We share that whole draft. I mean, we write up everything we can find. We look at colleges, Wikipedia. We go through high school. We go through YouTube videos. We go through you name it. We are scouring the web to get all that we can on all of these players. And that's academics. That's, you know, family history, siblings, what their parents do for, I mean, like, we want to get as much context, texture to every single one of these draft players to bring them to life so we know why they fit, why they don't. And again, the Niners do that too, right? You go back to 2022, you have 90 player roster, 82 were all academic or honor roll in college. 82 out of 90. They go after these intelligence things. So, well, guess what? You can figure out what their majors are. You can figure out these are public records, right? Now, whenever it comes to injuries, we know what is out there. So you're talking Josh Simmons. And even that, like, what's out there is a torn ACL. Yeah, sometimes some say patella tendon tear. Can't get official whatever. I'm not a doctor. I don't get the MRIs. I don't get any of that stuff. We go with what is presented out there. Character, same thing. I mean, I could type in Mike Green off-field concerns and search that, and we do, and there's rumors and all those things. Well, what do we know for sure? And Mike Green might be the best character dude ever, but what we do know, that dude was kicked off of a Virginia program with absolutely no information out there, and then several more misconduct, physical, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying it's out there. So our job, not to be an insider, I'm not going to interview Mike Green. I'm not going to interview the people that are alleging that he did something or did not. Not going to. Understand that players that have character or injury question marks, that's going to affect where they fall. It's going to affect it, period. So if we talk about injuries, well, who are the injury concerns that we know about? Offensive tackle Josh Simmons. We talked about that last episode. Cornerback Will Johnson. Talked about that many times. Cornerback Benjamin Morrison. Cornerback Siobhan Reveal. Offensive tackle Jalen Rivers. Like, that's five players that have major injury question marks that the Niners have typically stayed away from. We're going to talk about that next. Character? Man, Mike Green is awesome football player. Don't know what to do with that. Around pick 11 is where he should go. And so now we're like, man, there's a little bit of a give and take here. Edge rushers always get pushed up, right? Well, now he's got character concerns. What do you do with that? Every team is different. Every team is different. The 49ers stay away from this. Princely Umon Mielin. Usually 49ers stay away from that. I don't know if they're quality, whatever, the stuff that's happening. I don't care. That's not my job. I'm just telling you, whenever you get certain players that fall for unexpected reasons, it usually goes back to injuries or off-the-field concerns. Now, the 49ers' lessons in this area is huge because every single time they get burned, they learn. And for all the people that say all the time, oh, Shanahan don't learn. When it comes to the draft, he sure does. Does it mean that he doesn't make mistakes? Yes, he makes a lot. And again, I do. Shanahan is the guy. I understand John Lynch is the GM. I understand that there's so many different people that go into the draft process, scouts, personnel, front office, GM, coaches. I don't care. Kyle Shanahan is in charge. Whatever the hell Kyle Shanahan wants, Kyle Shanahan gets.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Here are the lessons. Reuben Foster, that was 2017. Traded up with a division opponent. That does happen in the draft. I know people are like, don't trade with it. Niners do it all the time. Everybody does it. Guess what? No character issues early since Reuben Foster. Now, okay, here's where it gets a little bit complex. What does early mean? The 49ers have a twofold draft approach. There are early draft picks, rounds 1, 2, 3, and there are late draft picks, rounds 4, 5, 6, 7. They have completely different criteria for drafting these rounds. And then it gets even more complex than that because Kyle Shanahan has been on record multiple times. He does not consider third-round comp picks to be third-round picks. So if you're wanting cookie-cutter rules to dive into, it's not even as complex as little early, late rounds. Nope. It's even worse. Shanahan has said those round 3 compensation picks, which the Niners have again this year, projected to be number 99. He says, we view that as a 4th-round pick. Why would Kyle Shanahan say that? Because rounds 1 through 3, they have certain criteria that you stay the hell away from. Number 1 is Reuben Foster character issues. Number 2, Javon Kinlaw, no chronic injury issues since him, early, none. The earliest player with injury concerns that they have drafted since Javon Kinlaw is Isaac Arendo, who missed, I used to have the number memorized, but he missed multiple seasons combined with all of his injuries. Well, you traded up and got him in the 4th round. This is why we get that demarcation. 49ers first, second, third round philosophy, 49ers late round philosophy. Right? So, no character, Reuben Foster. No chronic injuries, Javon Kinlaw. No inexperienced players, Trey Lance. They don't touch those guys. Since those three, they don't touch those issues early. 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 Does that mean they're right? No. Absolutely not. I'm just telling you what it is. Now, could they buck the trend? Sure. They haven't. They haven't touched a guy early since 2017, Reuben Foster. They haven't touched a guy with chronic issues since Javon Kinlaw. They haven't touched an inexperienced player, and that's not even an early one. That, again, the only inexperienced player you could talk about, again, goes back to Isaac Arendo. Dude started 1 game his entire college career, but he played 5 years. Could never win a starting job in college. You traded up multiple 5th rounders to go get them. It just didn't fit. And I don't think that was who they were targeting. Again, you have to add context to these situations, right? What happened in the draft last year to jump up and trade for Isaac Arendo? Will Shipley goes off the board. Ray Davis goes off the board. Panic, panic, panic. Trade up. Get Isaac Arendo. Was that a bad pick? We'll see. Ray Davis was a home run. Will Shipley, Philly likes him considerably. We'll see what that looks like long term. We'll see. Isaac Grindo showed flashes. But I'm telling you, it just seems weird to me. It seemed weird at the time. Seemed really, really weird at the time. Anyway, Drake Jackson, I'm not sure what that question mark alludes to. Which one of those? Drake Jackson, great kid. Maybe you could talk about inexperience, but man, he played a lot. Just played a different position. USC screwed that kid up big time. But yeah, and again, I'm not sitting here saying that all these are ironclad and these are the only rules. These are the rules that I found. These are the rules that I found. Are there exceptions? Always. Always, always. But these are the things that are there for that. So what about some of the things that 49ers love about certain draft prospects? One characteristic, especially on offense, but it goes over to the defensive side as well. If a player can take over a game by himself, Niners love offensive, especially skill position players, that can dominate a game, especially if it's a bowl game, conference championship game, or major rival. Kind of, they love those guys. And again, this goes back away. Joe Williams, Ty Davis Price, D winners defensively, right? Took over that Michigan game. Took over. I was next to Wayne. We were in Vegas for the New Year's game, and we were throwing a party the day before. Poor Michigan's getting mollywopped by TCU while we're holding an event. And Wayne's just screaming cuss words. It was hilarious. It sucks because you don't want like your buddies to go through those times, because every sports fan's been through those. But man, you watch D Winners take that game over. Like, that's huge. Ricky Pearsall had those games. Trey Sermon had those games. Talano Hufanga had those games. Dre Greenlaw had those games. Elijah Mitchell, like players that can take over a game individually and have done that at the college level in big game moments, they put a premium on that type of player. Right or wrong. And again, I mean, Joe Williams, wrong. Ty Davis Price, wrong. Trey Sermon, wrong. The other ones, yeah, you get into that however you want to get into that. Right here, Drake Jackson is a question mark. Will he be healthy? Well, I don't think that the questions were there prior to the draft, right? And again, just because prior injury history does not necessarily the best predictor for future history, I think it kind of matters. But the Niners typically, there's always going to, I mean, shoot, you look at Ricky Pearsall, that dude never missed a game ever. Two schools, 5 years, playing every damn game, ever. Had not one, not two, not three, not four injuries in training camp. He had five. He had two hamstrings. He had two shoulders, which they knew about, and they got a gut shot. That's not predictable. Maybe the hamstring and the shoulder issues were. But, man, like, just because the back success does not always predict future success. I think it's one of the truest indicators, and then now we're into correlation, causation, and all that stuff. But, hey, man, take that for what you will. Take that for what you will. Now, some other things, okay? Let's get into some thresholds, right? We got the combine coming up very, very soon. Here are the positions that you need to pay attention to that we know for a fact that measurements matter or don't matter for the 49ers. Don't care about arm length and tackles. Everybody can sit here and say, you know, that's going to be because you get a little bit of combine fatigue. But one of the biggest days is the measurement whenever they come out with the arm length for the offensive tackles and offensive linemen. And everybody's going to blow up. Oh, he's a tackle. He's a tackle. He's a tackle. Film's going to tell you what they are, what they aren't. Everybody says 34-inch arms are like the need or the must-have for offensive tackle. That's not true. Not for the 49ers. McKivitz, 33.5-inch arms. Jalen Moore, 33 1/3-inch arms. So for other teams, sure. Yeah, Colts, they're not drafting anybody without 34.5-inch arms, period. Now, can a 32-inch arm guy play tackle for the Niners? Nah, they don't want that. So Wyatt Millam, you know, guys like that, they're going to kick inside. And you saw that at the Senior Bowl. But look at the linebackers. The 49ers have two types of linebackers. You have the large length player, Fred Warner, and then you have the short, compact thumper, Dre Greenlaw. But it's not just them. You look at that Warner role. Fred Warner, Jalen Graham, Curtis Robinson, all 6'3 plus. All of them are. Look at the Greenlaw role, right? Greenlaw, Bethune, Winters, all 6 foot or less. Those are 5'11, 6 foot guys. So, like, you ain't got 1'6'1, you ain't got 1'6'2 guy. They don't exist. The Niners don't go after them. They have two thresholds. They want the short leverage thumper, the imposer, and then they want the long rangy length guy that can cover. That's what they want. It's one of those two things. Now, does that mean if a guy's 6'2 or 6'1, they don't draft? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that they have these guys that, you know, they want to stick with. Look at defensive backs, right? They want to get as close to 6 foot, 200 pounds, not just for outside corners, not just for nickel corners, not just for safeties, all of them. They have 10 defensive backs on their roster last year. Every single defensive back, all 10. Between 5'10 and 6'1. Look at the weight. All 10, 184 to 206. That is a tight window. They want versatility, compact. Go back to Richard Sherman, right? The Seattle cover three, where it was like, oh, Richard Sherman, 6'3, 220, it's 212, whatever. Now that ain't it anymore. Now, does that mean that you discount guys if they're 6'2 or 6'1? I don't think so. Not if their tape shows that they can quick transition and support the run game. They want compact guys that will hit. So, again, you look at the defensive backs that the 49ers, if a guy's close to 5'11", 6 foot, 190 to 200 pounds, that's a guy. And so, like, what do you do whenever you get a 6'3", 174-pound guy like Kobe Bryant out of Kansas, who I love his tape? I'm not saying the Niners don't have him on their board. Show me a guy that they like that. They don't go after free agents like that. They don't go after draft guys like that. 5'10 to 6'1, 184 to 206. I'm just showing you what they do. Maybe they change pace. Right here, Daryl Chapman is passing on homegrown college football players who could fit with the Niners. I'm passing. I don't understand that question or comment. Yeah, you nailed me. Got me. I got. Don't get got. Omar coming. All right. Let's talk about the next one. The 49ers will double dip on positions, and they've done this every single year since Kyle Shanahan showed up. Again, I'll go through it. This year, 2024 draft, you drafted two guards, Dominic Pooney, Jared Kingston. You also drafted two wide receivers, Pearsall Cowan. 2023, two tight ends, Cameron Latu, probably my least favorite. I hated the Latu pick more than the Jake Moody. No, I didn't. I hated them both. The fact they were back-to-back was just like a double kick to the privates. But anyway, 2023, you drafted Latu and Braden Willis. Doesn't look like either one of them really panned out. But I do remember saying Braden Willis will make this roster. Cam Latu will not. That was correct. But I got a lot of misses too. Let me throw those out there. 2022, two corners. Womack, right? Samuel Womack should still be on the roster. Should be our cornerback three and special team stud, but Nick Sorensen screwed that up. Tariq Castro Fields. He didn't make it either. 2021, two running backs. Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell. 2020, two wide receivers, Ayuk and Jennings, home runs, both those. 2019, two wide receivers, Debo, Jalen Hurd. The injury one, right? And maybe I should add to the Javon Kinlaw, or that was 2020 draft. So, like, they didn't learn with Jalen Hurd in the chronic injury issues. They took him in the third. They did learn when it came to Javon Kinlaw. That double ouch finally set home. 2018, went double up on three positions. Pettis and Richie James. Defensive tackles, Kentavious Street, Julian Taylor. And safeties, Tarvarius Moore and Marcel Harris. Now, you could say, like, well, Marcel Harris was a running back. Tarvarius Moore was a corner. But cool, throw those out. You still got multiples there. And then the very first draft, depending on how you slice Solomon Thomas, they screwed that pick up big time. They kept him inside, should have been playing on the edge. And so, like, do you see Solomon Thomas as a defensive tackle or end? Well, we drafted two of each. So it's either Solomon Thomas and Pita, Talmapinu. I messed that one up. I'm out of practice. Two edges, or Solomon Thomas, DJ Jones, two defensive tackles. So every single year that Kyle Shanahan has been here, they have double dipped on at least one position. Every single year. So my question to you, Eric Carr is already jumping in there. Appreciate you, man. What would you do if the 49ers had to double dip on a position this year? Again, you got 10 picks. We'll talk about that in a second. Which position would you want the 49ers to double dip on this year in the 2025 draft? Everybody knows the answer for me. It's defensive tackles. But I want to know if you think that there's another position that they should draft two of. Again, they do it every single year. They even did it in the year where they only had 5 picks total. Even in the year, they had 5 picks total. They still did it. So it's going to happen this year. Now, if you are a person that thinks you know what's going to happen, like now it's draft rumor season and people are putting out there like, oh, the Titans not going to be taking a quarterback number one. I bet Abdul Carter is going to be the number one overall pick weeks ago. And if you think it's going to be a quarterback, Cam Ward, whomever else, man, go put some money where your mouth is. Draft betting is like one of my favorite things ever. But if you are going to bet the draft and you think you know who's going first overall, here's where you got to go.
The NFL season may be done, but betting with MyBookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. Your big basketball guy, who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ers, or scan this QR code to my right, and you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto, racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
All right, let's get to the positions that people want more than one drafted this year. Invader, he says, not only the position defensive tackles, he wants Walter Nolan, CJ West. Oh, I would be very, very happy. DT says, NY Niners, O-line, D-tackle, D-tackle, D-tackle. Love it. D-tackle or edge. D-line, D-tackle. And again, I didn't count offensive line. I counted guards only or tackles only. And same thing for defensive line. I counted defensive tackles that double up or defensive ends that doubled up. Aaron says kickers. I love it. I love all the kicker jokes. Anytime I post like a question or a poll or whatever, the kicker stuff is just awesome every single time. Jacob, defensive tackle, but Nolan first. I like that. Let's see here. Steve says, yeah, brought up double dipping a month ago. Nailed it. He's even got two dogs in his AVI. Yeah, why not stick to the bit? I freaking love it. Love it. Leon Sandcastle. Defensive tackle is mine, but cornerback, man, that cornerback room is light. You got your top two, right? You got your top two. Who's going to be all the other ones? Defensive tackle or center? I doubt you take two centers. I would like that. I would be very, very happy with that, but take that for what you want. Interior offensive line, yeah. And the funny thing is we got bodies. You got Pooney just at the guard position. You got Pooney, you got Zakel, you got Burford, and you got Jake Brendel. Like, you already got four interior guys. So, like, that, man, I look at that guard position, and I get a little scared because I'm like, man, they've already got – and you always hear the stupid line after the draft press conference, well, we didn't think that there was anybody there that could beat out who's already on our roster, so we just don't even try. Like, that's like John Lynch converting into Kermit the Frog impression there, because I'm just like, I get upset whenever I hear that crap. It's like, take a chance, man. Take a chance. See, going to get me upset. I don't want to get upset. I don't want to get upset yet. No. Oh, man, what's up? Shout out to Big Tone. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. He says, we get defensive backs that look all world as rookies, then meh. Yeah, we don't develop. The defense has not developed much talent. You got D'Amador Lenore. He's the guy, was a cut candidate the second year, and then just stood out and took it and just has run. Yeah, we don't really develop a lot. Not defensively. We haven't in a while. That is a concern. And hopefully with Robert Saleh coming back, that changes. Again, going from Nick Sorensen to Robert Saleh is the biggest glow up in the history of defensive coordinators. I'll fight anybody on this. The worst defensive coordinator we've ever had in the history of the 49ers franchise is Nick Sorensen. You had guaranteed one Hall of Famer, probably two, and you sucked at everything. You took first-ranked defense in the fourth quarter to dead last. Yeah, were we supposed to be a top-three defense last year? No. But I'm telling you, coaching matters. This is from a former coach. Obviously, that's my stance. Coaching matters. Look what happened to the Jets when they fired Robert Saleh, right? Top-five defense, fire Robert Saleh after week five. Even their defense sucked. Coaching matters. Development matters. Hopefully we can get back to that. Hopefully we get back to that. So we'll see what that is. Now, let's one more thing. The 49ers do not draft best player available until the later rounds. First, second, third rounds, they don't do it. It is need-based drafting. And spoiler alert, to everybody that just puts BPA in all my comments, you know, anytime I ever ask a question, best player, I think there might be one or two teams that actually try to do that. The Packers used to do it. And I don't think they do it too more. They did it that one year, which Jordan Love worked out well. The rest of that draft was not good. So that one pick worked out for them. And I understand, like, some people just have it just drilled into their head, best player available, best player available. The 49ers don't do this. They don't do this. That's why they make those stupid comments. Oh, well, we didn't think you could beat out the player on our roster. You're not even looking at the player. You're looking at that player versus your players. Best player available does not exist for Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and the 49ers. It doesn't exist. It's not even there. It makes no sense. Now, am I agreeing with that philosophy? I'm not. I'm just saying they've never done it. They have never done it. They've never done it. And don't expect them to start. Don't expect them to start. Invader, exactly right, spot on. Almost no national draft nick gets the Niners draft philosophy. Shoot, you look at all the Niners shows. We get a lot of them wrong. I've gotten a lot right, and I feel very confident with the work that we put into it. But, man, you think about like being John Malkovich, right? Like, you get to the head of Shanahan, that's a dark place. I don't want to be in there. I don't want to be in there. But yeah, Ed, yeah, you're right. We passed on CD Lamb. That's just what it is. It said you disagree, but it's proven. Yeah, 100%. NY Niners BPA, best player available, is different for every team because no two plus draft boards are the same. I agree with that. And I'll go a step further, Ben. I think the Niners might have the most unique draft board of all 32 teams, right? So if you stacked and you graded, which we'll never be able to do, everybody's so secretive. I love it when draft boards get leaked. It's like one of my favorite things. But if you compared all 32 teams, I would argue the 49ers would have the most or definitely top five most unique draft boards. Is that good or bad? Yes. Yes. Do the Niners have draft misses? Oh, yeah. You bet your rear end they do. But you can't just always complain about the draft misses when you have George Kittle, you have Fred Warner, you have Dre Greenlaw, you had Debo during his prime, you hit on Ayuk, you got Brock Purdy, like Dominique Pooney. Come on. It's you got to look at it all. And so probably why I can't be a hot take person is because context is so damn important to me. And like, I need more information. I need more. And so whenever you look at everything holistically, good Lord, look at the NFC West last year, probably one of the worst years ever for the NFC West. It sucked. You had one all-pro player for the entire division. All four teams, Seahawks, Cardinals, 49ers, same old sorry-ass Rams, one all-pro player for the entirety of the division. That's Fred Warner. So, everybody, want to kiss up to McVay and all this stuff and, oh, so great at the drafts. Really? You don't have one all-pro player? Not one? In what was one of your better years? Come on. Don't be like that. Yeah, did they hit on Jared Verse? Yes. Jared Verse was my number one edge player in the draft last year. I kept screaming it, but whatever. Whatever. So it's not like even Howie Roseman, who I think is the best general manager in the NFL, I think he's one of the best of all time, in fact. He built not one, but two completely separate, different championship rosters. He has misses too all the time. It's not like he's perfect, but the 49ers are not. Do they still hit on a lot? Yeah, they do. Cooper DeJean, yeah. I freaking love Cooper DeJean. Did he have health issues? Yes, he did. Were they concerned with that? They were. Did he fall? Were the 49ers the only one concerned with that? No. The Eagles passed on him too. It's not like everybody you give credit to teams like the Patriots for drafting Tom Brady in the sixth round or you pick one, whatever. I don't give a damn what he was. Dude, the Patriots passed on him five times. You give credit to the 49ers for drafting Brock Purdy, and they deserve a lot of credit. They passed on him eight times. Eight! It's never just, oh, they're the best, they're the worst, which is our society today in social media, and I understand it's only going to get worse. That's bullshit. Sorry, I don't like to cuss, but I cuss whenever I want the dramatic effect. That is total bullshit. That's not the way world, life, football decisions work. They don't work that way. They don't work that way. Joe Montana was a third round pick. Wrong. You were more right than everybody else. Not like you are. And I guarantee you, for every Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Brock Purdy, there was another team that was like, man, we were going to get them right after that. Man, we were going to get them right after that. Well, the difference is you're an idiot. You passed on them. And you're a genius. You got them right. Well, you passed on them more times than the other teams did. You just were in the sweet spot, and you got it a little bit more right than the other teams. Sometimes it's a crapshoot. Sometimes it's just a crapshoot. This is what it is. So, I think best player available is how we got here. The Niners don't do it. They look at their roster, and they say, we need this. And not only do the Niners look at their roster and see what they need now, it's a year-out philosophy. The red shirt principle for the 49ers is a thing. Now, you look at the 2024 49ers with the insane injuries, you didn't have that luxury. And even the greatest 49ers third-round offensive lineman pick maybe ever, I don't know, I'm probably wrong. There's probably somebody that's amazing throughout. Dominique Pooney wasn't even supposed to start. He wasn't. What happened? Spencer Burford broke his hand. John Feliciano had a knee issue. He wasn't even the backup. He was the backup. But injuries ahead of him pushed him in there during training camp, and that dude just never looked back. It wasn't even that they wanted him to start there. The Niners didn't have that plan. They didn't have that plan. They didn't. You talk about Renardo Green, stud. Stud. That wasn't the plan. That was not the plan. They had Isaac Yiadom out there with the ones every damn day till he got hurt. Renardo Green stepped in, balled out, no looking back. Ricky Pearsall, are you kidding me? That dude, obviously I talked about all the practices he missed because of all the injuries. Plan wasn't for Ricky Pearsall to start. He had to. Well, Ayuk's down. Debo's got pneumonia. Juwan Jennings missed a couple games. No choice. The 49ers don't draft. They pay attention to their roster when they draft, but the idea is we will work him in. A year out. That's what they do. Eric, John, do you believe the Niners will pair up some free agent and draft the same position? I sure as hell better. I would do that at tight end, guaranteed. I would do that at defensive tackle, guaranteed. I would do that at linebacker. And now I would add wide receiver. I just wanted a vet wide receiver. So, yeah, those three positions. Tight end, you got to do it. Linebacker, you got to do it. Defensive tackle, you got to do it. You got to have both. There is no way you can go into this draft with your defensive tackle room the way that it is. And again, that's free agency 101. We'll get closer to that. That's next month. The Niners will shore up all major holes, weaknesses positionally in free agency. Doesn't mean you're going to put the all-star and have the biggest signing or whatever else. No, no, no. They go into the draft saying, we have a roster that we believe can compete. And we have no major glaring weaknesses, but we're going to draft for weaknesses for next year. Does that make sense? Again, the holistic kind of view of all those things. Yeah, Josh says, best player available doesn't always fit your culture. And you know what's crazy is teams don't even stack all their boards vertically. The war room draft board is horizontal. It's not vertical. Now, for example, okay, every single year during our draft prospect, right now we're just in collecting, okay? I don't have a top five, but I can tell you who's going to be on it. But what you do is you stack everybody vertically, not for ranking purposes, but you put them in tiers, right? You do, okay, these defensive tackles. We talk about them all the time. These are the guys that are like, all right, can start right now, Pro Bowl caliber, all pro type caliber players. Okay, these guys, man, they're complete players, but they just lack that dominance, right? And you group them. The groupings change. And even though you might have like Derek Harmon and then Walter Nolan or fill in the blank, I don't care about the names. Even though you might have a guy below another guy, that doesn't matter right now. That doesn't matter. What do you want them for? That's the horizontal thing. So when the 49ers are on the clock at 11, they're not so much concerned with, well, our number 7 player versus our number 9. No, no, no. That's not how NFL teams do it. The NFL teams do it horizontally. Do we want the defensive tackle here, or do we want the wide receiver here? Shanahan, shut up. You don't get a pick. No, no, no. Do we want the offensive tackle or the defensive, right? That's the conversation. It's not, well, he's my number 7 and he's my number 6. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. And whenever I make my entire board, and again, the 49ers rush board, all this comes out and we share this like the first or second week of April. We stack an NFL style war room board horizontally. Now I also do my one and I rank 1 through 200, which is stupid. NFL teams don't do that. NFL teams mostly don't even have 200 players on their board. 49ers will say we have 143 draftable players, and they don't even rank 1 through 143. We do that as sports so that I could say during the draft coverage, oh, that's my number 122 player. I had so-and-so ranked higher. It's horizontal. It's not I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but it's positionally stacked against each other. That is what they try to do. Let's see. I kind of started screaming. So let me, right here, vertical at each position, horizontal across the board. There you go. That's what's up. Perfect sense. Okay. I'm not an idiot, Joel. I'm going to star that and come back to that one, Joel. I appreciate you, brother. Starring that one, got some good ones. All right. I got way too much. We're 48 minutes in. I'm not halfway through my notes. I don't care. Let's have a good time. This show's going to go long, and this goes to get, like, I like to do the one-hour show. I don't care. I want to record, and I've got a date with the wife in 2 hours. Not saying it's going to be a three-hour show, but I'm okay. I'm not in trouble right now. All right, now I want to focus. This is my segue to after the first quarter of my show. Now let's just look at the 2025 draft. Let's step back from the 49ers viewpoint, right? Let's step out of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's head. Let's just look at the 2025 NFL draft in a nutshell. Obviously with 49ers leanings, but but not so much what Kyle Shanahan sees or what John Lynch sees, just the draft. Okay. There's only 7 rounds in the draft, but not really. There's really 8 rounds. All right. 32 teams. Each team gets 7 picks originally, but trades and whatever else. So 7 times 32, right? 7 rounds times 32 teams. That's 224 picks. There's a lot more picks than that. This year, there's projected, we don't know the final number yet, to be 257. So essentially, the compensation picks, I'm going to explain those a little bit better in a second. It comes out to 7 rounds plus teams that lost the most in free agency get extra picks to make up for that. Right? That's the idea. So 257 picks. So essentially 8 rounds with compensation picks. Now, there are 2 forms of compensation picks. I know this is elementary, but I want to build from the ground up so we can have this conversation. Compensation picks come in 2 forms now. Player loss during free agency and coaching loss with minority hires that become a general manager or a head coach. 49ers fall into both of these categories and just lost out. Josh Williams was not the general manager name. That broke right before the show. So he is James Gladstone got it. If Williams would have got the job as general manager, 49ers would have got an extra 3rd round comp pick, but it didn't happen. All right. So player compensation picks. This is a trifold formula. Average salary per year plus playtime snaps plus postseason awards. Okay. Those 3 things get compiled and you get a number value minus what you lost. Okay. So, like if you lose these players, but you sign these players, they negate out. So, again, for those of you that are watching, this is huge. This is the 49ers projected, right? So, the 49ers is just the players, not the coaches. That's separate. We'll talk about that in a second. So, for example, Javon Kinlaw signed for $8 million. $8 million. But we signed Etur Gross Matos for $8 million. They cancel out. Sebastian Joseph Day, we lost him for $4 million. We signed Yadam for $3 million. They cancel out. Charlie Warner, we lost for $4 million. We signed Leonard Floyd, who kind of canceled those 2 out, even though the money's not the same because of the playtime snaps. Because of the playtime snaps. Leonard Floyd didn't play a lot. Especially late in the year, he got his snaps cut. Cleveland Farrell cancels out Jordan Elliott. The players that we did not cancel out, Chase Young, Sam Darnold, Ray-Ray McCloud. Sam Darnold's playtime as the starting quarterback for the Vikings was supposed to get a 7th. He was supposed to cancel out. It jumped us from getting a 7th for Cleveland Farrell to a 4th for Sam Darnold because of the snaps. The average per year didn't work with the initial projections, but the amount of snaps played, I think he played 100% almost, that bumped it up. So we're projected to get 2 fourths, 1 fourth for Chase Young, 1 fourth for Sam Darnold, and a 7th for Ray-Ray McCloud. Now, that's the player compensation pick. The coaching compensation pick, we get an extra 3rd this year. This is last year, by the way, for losing D'Amico Ryans and Rand Carthon. Because those 2 guys were lost the same year, you get 3 consecutive years of 3rd rounders. This is the last year for the 49ers. Those are the compensation picks, okay? Now, 3 teams get 3rd rounders for losing minority hires to become general managers or head coaches. 49ers, Rams, and the Lions. Those are there. So now we understand our player comp picks, and we understand our coaching comp picks, okay? So the 49ers currently sit at a projected 10. It's not finalized. The NFL has not fully awarded the compensation picks, so this is a projection still. Probably should come out. Usually comes out around time of the combine. Usually does. Yeah, Josh Williams was not hired. They went with James Gladstone. So yeah, that's what that is. Right here. So, coach, appreciate you. If Bob Sala, Robert Sala, gets another head coaching job, do we get picks again? Yes and no. The CBA, the rule that they put in place says a person has to be on your team for 2 consecutive years and then leave. So we already got compensation picks when Robert Sala left the first time to the Jets. yes, you can get compensation picks again, but only if he is on your team for 2 years. So if Robert Saleh gets hired after this year, no compensation picks, zero. If he gets hired as a head coach after 2 years, you get those two comp picks. So it has that 2 year qualifier of being with the team. And yeah, Josh is staying DC for 2 years for Robert Saleh. That's what we want. Then it's going to be KJ Wright. Then it's going to be KJ Wright. Actually, probably too early for KJ Wright. Right. It probably would go to Gus Bradley, who we just brought over. Right now. Okay. Back to the 2025 draft. 3 hour call with DJ this morning was really, really cool to listen to. And you know, obviously what Daniel Jeremiah talks about players, you listen. He does great work, was a scout with not one but two teams, and you know, obviously puts the time in. But the things that I take away from it is the overall perspective of this draft class. Okay. He had a line that I thought was really, really good. He called this is a starter draft, not a star draft. That's not my line, but I'm going to use it a lot. That's Daniel Jeremiah. I want to give Daniel, I know he listens to the show, DJ. What's up, bro? I love that perspective. This isn't like, man, there's a whole bunch of home runs out there that are going to be all pros and Hall of Famers. I think there will be Hall of Famers from this class. There are almost every single class. But this ain't that draft. This ain't the draft where it's like, damn, this guy's elite. No, no, no. You are looking for starters that can make your team better. And 49ers fans need to buy into this because this is where we are. You don't have any control over the pool of players coming out. And there are great players. But there is no Joe Alt. There's not. So like, here's my tiered draft. And again, use these numbers kind of flexible wise, again, because I have not created my horizontal or vertical draft board. I'm still in collecting information. I only have three all-star players that are just like, if these guys don't have an all-pro season, something horrible went wrong. I have three: Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty. That's it. That's it. Now, does that mean other players aren't going to be all pros? That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying those three, they are them. Now, go back to one of my previous things, devalue certain positions, right? So, Ashton Jeanty is my number three player. He is not. He's not going to be. Why? Because he's a running back. Sorry. Sorry. I don't do that. There's three positions, right? Quarterbacks, offensive tackles, edge rushers. Those shoot up. Abdul Carter's my number one. Nobody's touching that. Travis Hunter's my number two. After that, then it gets weird, and I'm still working through those. Jeanty ain't going to be there. He's not. He's probably not going to be in my top five. I don't think that he will be. Whether that's right or wrong, I'm telling you that's how I see them. That's how I see them. And I get this a lot, Josh. Not sold on Hunter. That's okay. Niners are not going to have a chance at him. Travis Hunter has skills that other human beings, even in the NFL, do not have. The instincts, the playmaking ability, the multiple position, whatever else. I'm telling you right now, this dude is going to impact the NFL dramatically from a cornerback playmaking standpoint. I've never seen anybody react to the ball as well as he does. And that's what makes him a good wide receiver, too. That's why I have him. Is he going to... Yeah, you got to have a little projection. You got to be a little original with it. I get that. Travis Hunter has it. He has it. Should he have won Heisman? No, I don't think he should have. But he is for real, for real, for real. Now, so my tiers. Here's my four tiers that I have. There's top five picks because of the quarterbacks. And again, offensive tackles, quarterbacks, edge rushers. There's top five. Then there's 6 through 40. I don't see a big difference between 6 through 40 besides you get to kind of pick your poison. Now, would you rather have the number 6 than the 40 pick? Hell yeah, you would. But the type of player that is there at 6, okay, again, I'm just going to mock draft database right now, okay? The number 6 player on mock draft database is Will Campbell, offensive tackle. I think that's fine. I think he's warranted to be that high. Won't be that high on my board, but I will have Will Campbell as a top 10 probably, right? But okay, look at there. You're looking at Will Campbell, 6, Will Johnson, 7, Tet McMillan, 8, right? So like, this is mock draft database, whatever. I'm just throwing I'll go over to Dane Brugler just to provide more here. Number 6 player for Dane Brugler, Will Campbell. Number 7, Tet McMillan, right? Okay, that's simpatico. Now, if you scroll down to number 40, you're looking at Jahdae Barron. That's Dane Brugler. You're looking at JT Tuimoloau. I have Jahdae Barron ahead of Will Johnson. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. Or you can go 42, right? Azariah Thomas. I have him pretty damn close to Will Johnson. Way cleaner profile. Way better tape in 2024. So my first tier is top 5. My second tier, and again, these numbers aren't finalized, it's kind of that 6 through 40 range. Now, the third tier is 41 through 95. That third round, you know, Wayne and I, we did our mock draft earlier this week. That third round is special. It is special. It is, man, you could second and third round picks this year. Whew. Hot sauce, baby. I'm telling you, you cook it with some grease. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. And then after that, my fourth tier is pick your poison. So after 95, you're going to get what you want. You want a running back with this type of flavor. You want an outside linebacker that could do this. You want a safety that's 4-4, whatever. There's not going to be much difference between a fourth and a sixth round grade for a majority of NFL teams. Remember, I think the 49ers last year had 130-plus players graded. That's it. Now, they watch more than that, but they throw them in the trash. Niners throw players out. We got 130 players we're comfortable with. And they ran out. I think that's another reason why they trade up for Isaac Grando. They ran out. There's only a couple players we like left. Let's just go get them, and we'll just throw darts after that. Now, that does not to discredit guys like Jared Kingston, Tatum Bethune, whatever else. But those, I guarantee you, those guys did not have draftable grades. I would bet everything I have, the Niners did not have a draftable grade on them. But the draft's going to continue, and you got those picks anyway, so you start throwing darts. And again, I'll tell you this, Brock Purdy didn't have a draftable grade either. Not by the 49ers, he didn't. They took him, and it worked out. They didn't even have a draftable grade on him. They didn't even have one. So my tier's top 5. That's one. Second tier, 6 through 40. Number 3, 41 through 95. Ah, that is the meat of this draft, man. Then after that, it's just have a good time. Have a good time. And yeah, you're right. Kingston's going to start for the Panthers this year. Yep. Yeah, we need a guard. That was stupid. Hey, at least we got Ronnie Bell, right? At least we kept freaking Ambry Thomas, right? Oh, so stupid. So stupid. So for the 49ers at 11, you're going to get a really good player. You really, really are. Now, the one 49er specific question to Daniel Jeremiah, and I was just like, man, this dude's talking exactly what I've been saying. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But you kind of feel some kind of like, all right, we're in the same area. We're in the same ballpark here. This is what he said. He said, Mason Graham would be the home run pick for the 49ers. Now, I've been saying there ain't no way this guy's going to be there past 5, right? Well, Daniel Jeremiah went through this, and I kind of agree. He talks about how he was on the sideline for one of the Michigan games. I don't remember which one. And you had, Kenneth Grant walks by, right? The other defensive tackle at Michigan. And again, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, Kenneth Grant looks like he calls him Adonis, like this Greek god, exactly what you want as a football player, 6'3", 340. And then Mason Graham walks by and it's like, oh, like from the eye test, just walking, you're like, yeah, that guy is the stud, right? Not so much. Kenneth Grant's a freaking beast. He looks the part. But whenever you turn on the tape, Mason Graham is him, period. There is not one person in the world that could watch Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham and say Kenneth Grant is better football player. No. Now, The combine is here. This ain't Mason Graham's ballpark. This is not where Mason Graham is going to flourish. He's going to have short arms. His body does not look like the other defensive tackles in the first round. He's not going to test well. He's not a speed guy. He's not a power guy. He's none of those things. So maybe he could fall a little bit. This is Daniel Jeremiah talking about this, and I think that could make sense because some teams care more about the eyes and the measurables and the test, Colts, than they do football players. Mason Graham is him, guys. And maybe he could fall a little bit. But, yeah, Mason Graham, I don't think he's going to have the great combine. So the hype on Mason Graham right now might be as high as it's going to get. Maybe he slips a little bit. Now, if Mason Graham gets to 6, I'm on the phone. From the 49ers standpoint, and I don't want to trade up, I would trade up for Mason Graham. And I agree with Daniel Jeremiah. Mason Graham is a home run. I would be so freaking happy to be there. And, yeah, Invader. Mason Graham's body composition, short arms will knock him down. I don't give a damn. Give me football players. Give me football players. Oh, he's awesome, man. Other comments that Daniel Jeremiah made about the 49ers. Quote, Mikel Williams is another one that fits, end quote. I've been screaming that one from the mountaintops. And then last one, quote, trade back candidate would be Walter Nolan, end quote. Yeah. Sounds like John Chapman was on that call. And that dude's just freaking I'm glad that we were in agreement on those things. He wasn't talking to me. He don't know who I am. But, yeah, if you trade back, Walter Nolan's there. But if you could get – and this is what I've been saying. Like, Mikel Williams is in the mix. Trade up Mason Graham. Sit still. Kelvin Banks, Mikel Williams. Trade back Walter Nolan. That – I like Mikel Williams more than almost anybody. Now, I know somebody's listening to this and going, yeah, but wasn't he injured? Yeah, he injured his ankle in the first game against Clemson. First game against Clemson this year. But guess what? Do you know how many games this dude missed? None. He played through it. So injuries are a concern for the 49ers. Not for him, not for guys that played through it. And he was still impactful. It's not like he sucked. That dude's the best run defender, defensive end that exists in this draft with high-profile upside. Again, going back to this Adonis, what guys are supposed to look like, there is not a defensive end, and you could throw in Abdul Carter. You stand Abdul Carter next to Mikel Williams, 32 out of 32 teams are going to go Mikel Williams. 6'5", 265. This dude, I'm telling you, you see him. Now, Abdul Carter's better, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I'm telling you, Mikel Williams, if you like, he's on the short list at pick 11, not just for me. That dude matches everything every NFL team wants, every single one. And you go watch that 23 tape. Whew. He is there. And that's not just me saying that. Now Daniel Jeremiah is saying that. Again, quote, Mikel Williams is another one that fits, end quote. It's there. It is there. And yeah, not everybody fits in this. Ray G, what did Warren Sapp look like in shorts and t-shirts, John Lynch? Yeah, Warren Sapp is one-on-one. Like, there's certain guys I never do comparables to. I've never mocked a Warren Sapp. I might say like a Warren Sapp light or a poor man's Warren Sapp or something. Like, there's just certain guys. Right here. Look at this. Mikel, Tony Meredith, appreciate you over on Facebook. Mikel Williams and Alden Smith, both 6'5", 265 with 25-inch arms. I ain't saying. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it. Like, I don't think that he's going to be Alden Smith. There's not. Nobody has ever in the history of the NFL been Alden Smith. Ever. That dude could have been the greatest to ever play. Ever. Remember, he was drafted the same draft as Von Miller, and he was ahead of him by like 9 or 10 sacks through 2.5 years, and then just everything went off the rails. I mean, the prototypical, it's how you draw a defensive end. If you put Mikel Williams next to Nick Bosa, you'd be like, I want Mikel Williams. Now, Nick Bosa now versus Nick Bosa then, we've all seen the work ethic and what that dude does with his body is insane. But I'm telling you, if you're looking at arm length and all those things, Mikel Williams has it. He has it. Doesn't mean he's going to be that guy. Just say it. Captain Insano. Dear John, I stick by my Myles Garrett not getting traded. Sincerely, Cleveland. I don't think they want to trade him. I really, really don't. And I know everybody wants to trade back. Yeah, I get that. I totally understand. Scott Allen, appreciate you. John, should the Niners trade back? Yeah. Yeah. Again, this year, you just heard me go through those tiers. Why would a team want to trade up? Takes two to tango. You don't want to trade back. But man, who wants to come up? You have to have bait for somebody to jump up. How do you get that? Quarterbacks, right? What are the three things that get pushed up the board? Quarterbacks, offensive tackles, defensive ends. Nobody's trading up for Ashton Jeanty. That's not going to happen. Maybe if they jump from 12 to 11 or 13 to 11. Nobody's trading multiple firsts to get a running back. Not today's NFL. Dan Campbell's not that stupid, and Dan Campbell's stupid. Is he a great head coach? Yes. Is he dumb? Uh-huh. Do I like him? I do. But, like, that dude doesn't care about positional value at all. He would not do that. He wouldn't do it. So, yeah, should the 49ers trade back? They should. Will they be able to? Man, you better hope somebody falls in love with Jackson Dart. You better hope Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward falls. You better hope an edge pass rusher that other teams will fall in love with, Mikael Williams, is there. You better hope an offensive tackle that somebody loves, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks Jr., Josh Simmons, Armon Mimbu. You need them there. That's what you have to hope for. Otherwise, nobody's going to jump up. Maybe there's always a sucker. What's the Rounders line? If you're sitting at a table and can't spot a sucker in the first 30 minutes, congratulations. You are the sucker. Like, and again, Luka Doncic got traded, right? Like, there's idiots out there. There's always stupid people. You look at the Colts again. The Colts are the example for what not to do all the time. How in the world Chris Ballard is employed in the NFL still makes no sense. The only reason why the Eagles won the Super Bowl this year is because of Chris Ballard. They gave out that stupid-ass contract to Carson Wentz and were screwed. And Chris Ballard freaking went and bailed him out and took all that cap hit, gave up all the salary cap, gave up all the draft capital. Eagles don't win the Super Bowl without Chris Ballard. That dude's an idiot. Maybe he makes a stupid trade. He's done a lot of them. One playoff win, zero division titles. He's been here the same amount of time as Kyle Shanahan. Oh, man, Chris Ballard, you suck. I think he's a nice guy, but like, man, that dude's screwing up freaking try to find a sucker. Somebody trade up for Warren? Ugh. Who's going to trade up for a tight end? Well, I say that. And, you know, Daniel Jeremiah talked about this too. So let's talk tight ends. This is a fun show. I have a very good time. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this. Daniel Jeremiah was asked, like, oh, Tyler Warren, how great is he with Brock Bowers or whatever else? He said, Brock Bowers is way ahead of where Tyler Warren is. And again, Colston Loveland is my number one tight end. It depends on what it is you want. Because Tyler Warren looks like Gronk, and he plays like Gronk with the ball in his hands. But Gronk was special because Gronk blocked. Tyler Warren's one of the worst blocking tight ends in this draft. He has a bottom four grade of all the tight ends in this draft. All of them, bottom four. Colson Lovin had better blocking grade. Harold Fannin better blocking grade. Every single tight end you can think of has a better blocking. So he's not a complete tight end. Now, Brock Bowers wasn't a complete tight end either. However, Brock Bowers' routes versus Tyler Warren, that's comical. They're not even the same thing. The only thing Tyler Warren has over Brock Bowers is size, which not trying to discount. But I'm telling you right now, I'm willing to say the more I watch tape, not that Tyler Warren's not going to be incredible. I think more teams will have Colson Loveland as the number one tight end over Tyler Warren. He's not a complete tight end. But the Rams tried to trade up last year multiple times to get Brock Bowers. They couldn't do it. Would you take Brock Bowers or would you take Jared Verse? I'm taking Jared Verse every day and twice on Sundays. Why? Positional value matters. Brock Bowers, awesome. I'm taking Jared Verse every single time. Every single time. It's not an anti-Brock Bowers take. It's a defensive end versus tight end take. I do not see Tyler Warren. I know everybody. Half of the questions I get are on Tyler Warren. Half of them. Dr. Steve Rule. Ballard goes after measurables, guys like Mikel. Yeah, but the tape is good. The tape is good. And not all Chris Ballard picks are bad. He shouldn't be employed as a GM. He got a lot of picks, right? It's whatever. It's whatever. So trading back is going to be harder. I hope that's what the Niners do, because if you get more, and again, if you do trade back and everybody's like, oh, trade back, get a second. Trade back, get a second. Try to get more second rounders. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I did a full episode where I dug through every single draft trade that has taken place in 25 years. Number 11 pick has never been traded for a second round pick. Second round pick even involved in a trade. You can get multiple firsts if you trade back real far, but usually it's thirds. You know, sometimes you can get two thirds. So again, trying to get that second round pick, I'm not saying it can't happen, but you're going to fall back really, really, really far, because teams don't want to give up a first and a second. They don't want to do that in the same draft because then they're hamstrung. They don't want to do that. It's not going to happen. John, do you like Shamar Stewart? No. No, Tony. Not at all. Shamar Stewart is who everybody thinks Mikael Williams is. Mikael Williams is a damn good football player. But you're talking about somebody like Mikael Williams, like, oh, his tape's not good. The dude had 5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits, hurries off the freaking chart. And then you go look at Shamar. He has never had more than 2 sacks. Never. What? Figure that out. He has never had, not even 2 sacks. Dude had a sack and a half. He can't even get to two. He's healthy. Like, there's no reason to explain. Like, if Shamar Stewart had 5 sacks this year, like Mikael Williams did in a down year, playing through an injury, that would be twice his career. Now, you tell me you get Shamar Stewart at 43? All right. Yeah, he's a damn good player. Helps against the run. Traits are unbelievable. But I would much rather take Landon. Shamar Stewart is going to be really low on my list. If my rankings come out, it's going to be bad. Strawberry, tight end draft is deep. I would wait. Take Jackson Hawes. Yes. Jalen Connors. Yes. I love this tight end draft. Right here, Patrick Willis was the 11th pick. Hey, we got a Hall of Famer before. We got a Hall of Famer before. Yeah, it'd be freaking awesome if we did that again. Now, deepest positions, back to what Strawberry was talking about. What's up? The three defensive tackle, this is the deepest draft maybe ever in the history of the NFL ever for defensive tackles. Tight ends, that's my number two. Running backs is number three. Defensive tackles, tight ends, running backs. Those are the three deepest positions. Now, flip side, what are the lowest positions? What are the least deep positions? Am I saying that right? Don't have a lot of depth. Quarterbacks. This is not a good quarterback draft at any point. You're talking first-round quarterbacks, low. Second-round quarterbacks, low. Third-round quarterbacks, low. Like, this is not the year to get a quarterback. Having said that, 2021 was supposed to be one of the best quarterback drafts of all time compared to 1987 draft. Wrong. Wrong. Trevor Lawrence was the only guy that's still starting, and he's not even that good. He's good. He's got the elite traits, but tastes bad. I mean, shoot. Number two pick, Zach Wilson, wrong. Trey Lance, wrong. Justin Fields, maybe. But still wrong. Mac Jones, wrong. Like, nobody lived up to that hype. So, yeah, you don't know. Maybe somebody comes and is amazing, but this, again, is not a good quarterback draft. Wide receivers, but with a caveat. It's not a good wide receiver draft, but just at the top. There are no elite wide receivers. There's great wide receivers, and you can get every size. I remember 2 years ago where it was like all these small wide receivers coming out. So if you're is like Tank Dell, Josh Downs, and like all these just tiny little bitty dudes. But this year, you got whatever you want. You want big, strong, man, zone, X guys, Z, you got whatever. You get whatever you want. But there's just not the guy to hang your hat on. Daniel Jeremiah was talking about how he's got Tech McMillan, who's kind of the consensus number one overall wide receiver, down in the 20s. It's just not an elite wide receiver group. And I didn't think we'd be saying that for a while, because the college and high school, everybody's four wides. Everybody is. So, like, it's kind of weird. It's a weird draft. And kind of the best wide receivers in college football this year were true freshmen. I think you can make the argument Jeremiah Smith, Ryan Williams, Wingo, like some of the best wide receivers this year in college football were all true freshmen. It's just weird. And 3 years from now, whew, Kyle Shanahan ain't gonna be able to help himself. So quarterbacks low, wide receivers, but just not at the top. Offensive tackles, not elite. There's not a clear Andrew Thomas, Joe Alt, I don't know. Fill in the blank. Like, this ain't it. Doesn't mean they're bad, but Josh Simmons is the clearest number one, but he's coming off an ACL. I don't know what to do with that. I think Kelvin Banks has the number one. He's my number one tackle, offensive tackle. But again, he doesn't have elite height. We'll see what his arms do. But man, it's not a great left tackle class. And you got some guys, Emory Jones, Vinston. There's guys that you can get day two, day three, but offensive tackle is just one of those positions that, man, late round picks just don't pan out. Zach Tom's about it. Like, there's just not much out there. There's some value there. Golden Pick Podcast, what's up? Offensive tackles in the mid rounds have some value. Guard center, yeah, center is rough. Offensive line's rough. There's a lot of guards. You want a guard, man, you're going to have your you're going to have a lot of choices. And then linebackers, off-ball linebackers. Nah, I don't like it. Jahad Campbell is your guy. And even Jaylon Walker, who a lot of people list, I don't want to say he sucks at off the ball linebacker, but man, again, we have a breakdown up over in the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon. Go check it out. But like, you watch Jaylon Walker as just, if you grade him as just an off the ball linebacker, it's like, man, maybe third, fourth round grade. And like, he might be a top 10 pick. I think he will be. He's so good. Leadership's great. Edge rusher. Measurables. Like, Jaylon Walker's going to put on a show at the combine. He's going to put on a show. I mean, you're talking about an off-ball linebacker. It's going to be 4-4, close to it. All the measurables you could ever dream of. But it's just, man, he's slow to diagnose plays. You have to tell him, go. And so Jalen's going to be great as an edge player, but Jihad Campbell's your best off the ball linebacker, who could be an edge player. But yeah, I don't like this off ball linebacker class. And I think a lot of guys are going to go where they shouldn't go in the second, third round. And this is the worst part, is the Niners need this position. They need it. They need an off ball line. Even if you bring Greenlaw back, you need it. Even if you bring it back, you need it. So deep positions, defensive tackle, tight end, running back, shallow positions, quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive tackles, centers, linebackers. Man, this is a fun show. Now, I said I was going to get back to somebody's question. Right here, Joel. Is it a free or strong safety we need more? We need free safeties. So again, when you're watching this combine, combine's most important for secondary players anyway. Speed matters more for that position. Fluidity, the hips, change of direction, all those things matter more for the defensive backs than any other position. Pay attention to those 40 times for defensive back safeties. I really hope the 49ers get a 4-4 guy. This is a fun show. I had a good time. Hopefully you guys had a good time. I only got riled up a couple times. Not too bad. Heart rate's okay. We're having a good time. Yeah, I love me some Makuba. Yeah, love it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Today is about to be date time with the wifey. I got to go get ready and get all pretty and stuff. But until next time, you guys are incredible. Hopefully you enjoyed this show. We'll be back. And until next time, stay strong, faith.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.